So we are spooning around with some friends. And we, as you do, and we meet up a character called John Basketcase, who's a very, very famous artist, taught by Picasso and all that, and a bit like, Forrest Gump, you know, you're influenced from all the greats, and he was just a basket case. But in the end, I actually fell in love with the name, and I decided to do a poem on it, and I think it's kind of like, some of it's based on a true story. The self-portrait of John Basketcase. A memento case, a crack case, you can call me John Basketcase. Under my hood, in my head, there's a hollow, where all things that matter manifest. Three of my friends are spiders. One, Yag Drizzle, named after the universe. Not the one of stars, planets, and systems, and all things that matter and don't matter, but named after the universe of giant leaves the size of Africa, a trunk as large as the Atlantic desert, and each fruit of the tree holding an alternative world. Yabdrizzle is called Yabdrizzle because he's not a giant spider, but his webs are as fast as the universal tree. Two, Smithy, called after Clark Ashton Smith, who said, only the impossible has any real charm. All things that can happen have been vulgarized by happening too often. He is a blacksmith, a wordsmith, an electrician, a networker, a switchboard expert, a magician, an alchemist, a black wizard, a demon, a monster, a familiar. He knots webs as fine as pages of a book of weird tales. Lovelace, after Ada Lovelace, who achieved through sheer brilliance a computer algorithm that tasted vanilla. With it, she can see far beyond the future with every possible invested possibility. Lovelace can sew lace of love, long lines of talking laces, not a better than my shoelaces. The tree build electrical lines of the interiors of the basket that make up my head. My head is made out of cobwebs. Of a tree, of a horror, of a mathematician, of a home of gods and giants, of a poet and artist, an algorithm buried on recorded paper, either in nature, inside a book, inside a calculator, of a universe, a blacksmith, a love. This basket is full of fire ants, a pepper mesh of crisscrossing dancing crumbs. Each is a seed of counting of time I felt in solitude. They bury mines and harvest opals of wishes and dreams. They dig these deep in my mentality. They are emotional, creepy crawlies. They have loads of happiness. In the heart of them is my mental palace, about the size of a cleaning closet and shaped like a robin's eggs, stuffed with hoarded unpublished newspapers. All about the ways I've never lived, forecasted, followed, and documented. The ants forage these regrets and scoop them up like sugar, buried under the webbed basket in my head. I thank my spiders for burying the load deep in me. They are my only friends. Yak Chisel, Smithy, and Lovelace. Thanks very much.
Next up with Teresa Honan.
Called Weaving the Cradle. Tunes play and flow like rippling rivers, upbeat, downbeat, synchronized in a jig. Fiddle cradled on her shoulder, a tender gaze. Soft and light the notes fall, in tune with beating hearts. Banjos and barons, ceiling pipes and harps. His bright eyes greet the room with the sweet sound of mandolin. Hornpipes and reels, sets and slow airs. Sound beats of the dancer's footsteps against the flagged floor echo the foot tapping. Liam uncoils from his flute, hops to his perch, fluffs his feathers to Shannon's Billy Halpin's gander to the rapture of the audience.
I just call this A Poem Is Not. A poem belongs to the moment. It is not a lifetime manifesto. It is never the complete story. It seldom has a purpose. It can't answer a question for you, or come to a conclusion, or tell you what the Pope believed in or didn't believe in. We knew this rule when we played Spin the Ball of the World with eyes closed. No cheating, landing a forefinger on a random spot, looking for a past life, a future place, a zone. A poem is simply an expression in a time. That doesn't mean it's not eternal.
Next up, we've got Jamie Lawton.
I know not everybody rhymes, but I don't know why that is. All I know is why I do, and what it is about rhyme that fits with a mind that sits in a mire, mixed in a tired and fixed with briars and sticks. A mess of conflict, looking like it can't be fixed. But how else do you start? How do you create your art? How do you write what can hit me hard, what is in your head and is in your heart? Because for me it's hard to choose the words to use without a rule in place. I need some limits. I need some constraints. There's too much I could say, too little that I want to. I'd rather not be talking about the things by which I'm haunted, but the caution that I guard my thoughts with drops and falls away, the diversion is what lets me be more honest. So what can I say that rhymes? What fits into 16 bars? By finding ways to make it hard, I can write what is in my heart, and I can start to pull apart the hardened part of me that resists being described directly.
Patricia Walsh. Thank you, Julie. This is called Stale Water. When I consider how my life is spent, halfway to extinction, producing incessantly, as I would have liked, arsing away, now having enough is always a gripe, nicely unfolded in a historic governing. The television eating at creative innards, eating on the right, not even considered. Alcoholic occupation started swallowing credentials. Nascent talent surfacing to be shut down. Local shame curtails the best of ever. The household niceties clean the area, needed for the purposes still unpaid. Dreaming of employment in some degree. Low fat merging with a domestic edge. Kept under observation without crime. Carrying the post on watch for necessities, a taste in one's mouth spells relief. Tolerating outside inertia for sake of refreshment. Eventual discernment erodes the prize. Cross-cultural relief shock waving through. Singing ballads over a radio's recording. Give us and take it away, less seeming. Waiting for denouement, fast under cover. Impossible longing still makes my day. Opportune wish lists run for exposure.
Tinge to the evening, let's say. It's a water spot. great and good thought has got, as seems to describe. Coronach, he has gone on the mountain, he is lost to the forest, like a summer dried fountain, and our need was the sorest. The palm tree appearing from the raindrops shall borrow, but to pass come no cheering, to darken no morrow. The hand of the reaper takes the ears that are hoary, but the voice of the weeper wails manhood and glory. The autumn winds rushing rush the leaves that are searest, but our flowers in flushing and lightings nearest. Fleet foot on the corrie, sage counsel in cumber, red hand on in the porre, how sound is thy slumber, like the dew on the mountain, like the foam on the river, like the bubble in the fountain, thou art gone and forever.
At first, you're consumed because you assumed that love was this irrefutable truth whose roots ran through the stem of your soul, forming flower and fruit. Proof that as an individual, life was residual, restricted as the microcosmic proportion of you as two. When fully formed, love is whole, and the joy becomes mesmerizing, and you begin to seem the mundane and magnificent as the same, shamelessly engrossed in the entanglement of each other's lives. And I think we all strive for this sight, a light behind breathless nights, new sights, content in someone who you think might be right for no one else but you. So for me, there's an ideal. To steal a portion of a person who contributes and redistributes your passions as you fashion ways to rummage and encourage theirs. It's a shared experience, and this feeling of both selfishness and selflessness is serious with delirious potential. But of course, these things can become aligned and metastasize in the guise of growth, and before you realize, you're tied in a choice between lingering on and letting go. And initially you should grieve, because after all, it's a loss and its cost deserves to be felt. As sheltered in your hearts are pieces of the past that aren't to be cast asunder, but to roll like thunder across the echelons of your mind, your priorities are reassigned and you begin to redesign. And then you adapt, and you become adept at dealing with the sentiments of self, and you start to shelf pain and regain confidence enhanced by immediate burdens being lifted and shifted to something solid, and you're shown in the light as a new product. So people begin to see you as this object of desire, and you begin to desire that intimacy, but perhaps you aren't ready, but you dabble and fathom a future with someone new, try to be true and maintain virtue, and in lieu of intensity you settle for good company. But lukewarm love isn't enough to burn bridges, and the ridges of romance remind us that something's not quite right. And in your eyes, you don't feel like you're healing, but transferring your pain to another thought, smothered and subdued until it eventually transpires, the consequence higher. You became the world's most hurtful liar. So allow yourself time. Let the rhythm of life realign itself to your rhyme, and become kind. Internally, no longer demanding, but calmly commanding your soul. Negative emotions become rare notions, and you come to grips that some things are just out of your control. And then hopefully you just forget and let it go. Only then something new could grow.
This is called Song of the Hermit. It's a nature poem, and it's by an unknown bard before the Norman invasion. And Frank O'Connor translated it from the Irish. I took the liberty of changing it around a bit, putting a seasonal shape on it, and adding a couple of mischievous verses at the end. Sorry, Frank. Song of the Hermit. A hidden hut, a great holly tree for my roof. Nearby, a mighty oak keeps me winterproof. The clear rock-lined tureen offers healthy drink, and in spring a bed of cresses grows by its brink. A herd of goats, friendly neighbours, nestling near, while the boar roam, a brood of badgers grazing deer. When summer spreads its mantle, what a sight! Sorrel, elderflower, wild garlic, juicy, bright. To what feast the woods invite me, all about, a variety of herbs, a river with crayfish, trout, bird's eggs, mushrooms, salmon are my meat, frochen, mint and honeycomb for a treat. All one could ask for comfort around me grows. There are hips and haws, wild strawberries, nuts and sloes. Jaunty redbreasts briskly forage in each bush, round my hut swoops and darts, swallow, thrush. I pick my fruit from a sunny glade for poaching and fill my pockets from hazel trees, dappled green. From sea and lake, gulls and herons flapping in. In the purple upland heather rises partridge hen. In late summer's hazy, lazy days, cattle low through the grassy glades, undriven, tranquil, slow. Black bees, bumblebees, music makers, buzz and hum, geese honk over, duck in autumn, see them come. Through mossy boughs sighs the wind, skies still blue, foxes call, stream water falling, calling to. Autumn changes leaves to red and gold. I get wood. My fire keeps the chill from creeping in. Life is good. Now it's interesting to note that for Hermit there's no mention of God or the gods. This was a hermit in love with the abundance of nature and the irrepressible life force. But to extend the story, he's a bit of a rascal. So I added a couple of verses. Most year round he is sober and even celibate. Seasonal midpoints he and his lady friends celebrate. She has a rake of children, says the hermit, not all from her husband's line. He and I look alike, so he knows not, perhaps, that one is mine.
Our next poll has been looking trendier and trendier as the night went on, Vincent Burns.
First, I must introduce myself. I'm Benjamin Burns, pop star, poet extraordinaire. And this is my first message to you. Each and every one of us has access to pop stardom. No matter the number of fans, 200, a dozen, 6 million. Pop star nature permeates the silk kimono of existence. Buddha, enlightenment means seeing your name in lights.
And you know the way sometimes you're writing something and you're like, oh, this is all great, it's all in rhyme and it's all marvellous, and then when you read it again you're like, oh Jesus, no it's not at all. So you know, judge me accordingly. This is called False Prophets. I try to meditate to compensate the want for more inside. I crossed my legs and bowed my head and chanted a Tibetan rhyme. When I suppose I had had enough, that enlightenment must surely be mine, I stopped my ahs and and opened my third eye. To my thorough disappointment, my mind felt just the same. The only thing that I had gained was a leg cramp and lower back pain. Tired of living fortuneless, I longed for something brighter. I hung a vision board upon my wall with all the things I did desire. A smaller waist and straighter teeth, a wardrobe full of clothes designer. I closed my eyes and soon I dreamt of all the things I would... Oh, this is undone. Of all the things I closed my eyes to bring out the wealth I would soon acquire. Like my patience for these things, the blue tack it did tire. With a whoosh, the poster swooped down on the curling iron. I watched my dreams go up in poof and start a small house fire. In attempt to have good luck, I went to buy some crystals. When I got down to the store, the sign said out of business. Around the corner I did inquire to the woman selling phone covers to tourists. She said their spells didn't do too well against high rents and shop insurance. I visited an ancient healer, hoping she could cleanse my aura. She told me to dance naked in new water on the night of the full lunar. I did what she instructed, but a security guard interrupted, and now I'm banned from the dam in a mascara. I borrowed self-help books in a desperate plea to take control of my destiny. I studied them hard, hoping they'd give me a sign. All I got was anxiety and a 10-euro library fine. The mystical wasn't working for me, so I turned to superficialities. From advice I read online, I could be a celebrity in just no time. All to do was eat less bread, practice manifest, and stick to a diet of smoothies. If I was skinny and much more pretty, maybe I could be in the movies. Most efficient, I followed this prescription, but it wasn't sustainable, you see. 'Twas not the fame of Hollywood I gained, but rather a vitamin D deficiency. I followed the advice of Oprah to live the life I chose. So I went down to the bank and took out a big, huge loan. I followed the steps of Elizabeth Gilbert, traveling the world to eat, pray, love. I glossed over the latter of the two, and now my jeans won't close. In an attempt to find myself, I set off for an ashram in India. I'd find inner peace, have no more money worries, do yoga and reach nirvana. Unfortunately, my plan, it did not work. I should have been careful what I wished for. For now, I'm stuck in what appears to be a cult, and none the less wise nor richer.
Open mic, so really quickly, Max Creedon
at the hook. Ran out of the room. Short one. Okay, so this is from my mother's anniversary, and it's my friend's story instead. He lived in a house where there was wooden flags, and they were sprung, and they could come dancing there. Quarter century since you left me, and on this day I come to you with what I have, my garden berries, should the rambling roses are gone. The days I sat on your warm knees beside the settle used to comfort me, and you left me free to read whatever I'd like or need, and open my child's mind starting my journey, free to rest, stretch by the riverbed, and the roam the hills by the Clyde Valley to meet my friends. The renowning, beautiful oak wood, you sheltered me in your embrace, and cushed henna on the bib of my mother's arms, I heard the sound of dancing flagstones. That's for her.
Okay, I want to do another
Clyde because
I was going to talk about
Clyde
Valley.
Yeah.
Okay, so tiny little something for the west of Ireland and the west of Scotland. And my sounds are legendarily short. So this was just the one I wrote for ABC. So I was Sky tonight and I listened to Angus McNeice with great pleasure, the film alive. So this is for Rab and for Angus, I suppose. I hope you won't have me. Oh, give me a boat, a clinker-built boat, and seal troubled waters for me. Line up a cork and seal it with rope for a fulsome life's guarantee. Sail it away from the firth of the fourth and out over all the sea and coast along by beautiful land watched over by shadows of Hebrides and some boatman though my boat to sea like an admiral of a Highland fleet and bring your catch back home to eat by cold and shores and shingle beach to me. So I do a little bit for the rest of the world now, and that'll be fast finish. When moon rocks beached and round stone, dunes of silk white sand move with silken argon sound. They sun the street from silver beams and more from groove to weave a vine of sand leaves there. My
draw back, galactic lights a circle on the tips of waves. Silent lover, rainbow sheep who sleep on grassy fleece, unblended wisps of setting sun. My sister's disappearing, cast wide horizons, while I wail behind willows and leaves. Silver mink for twilight skies, wrap my open hands, tap and the water from mother pearl, same rushing. Lunar pools of tide receding, cut me back in warmth, only close and grey kid gloves. Curled up like a kitten by a filigree brooch, a leaf on her lapel. Old souls rock the moonlight light, stranded to one round stone, they trace back time with me on sand leaves, on sand leaves, on sand leaves. That's the west of Ireland and the west of Scotland.
Last up on the mic, I'm really sorry I'm finding it hard to raise this. Jenny?
Yeah.
Sorry. There's always one. Jenny, will you say your surname for me? Is it
Lawton?
Lawton,
yeah.
Sorry.
You're okay. Well, I wrote this about an hour earlier tonight. It's the 5-word challenge, but I wasn't going to say it at all. But I've been cajoled by my brother and my cousin. Apparently, I'll regret if I don't. So, quizzy me. Fireworks. As I sit on the grass of the River Shannon, next to King John's Castle, the river continues to crest the banks of Limerick City. Not many know about this place, but I do. Toy figurines lie, abandoned by 5-year-old owners, full of love, until distraction takes over and it's time to go home. Funny, a city with a reputation for being quite violent seems, despite its reputation, majestic under the fireworks that cause the reflection of the river to light up. The Pope has arrived, which will cause fireworks of another kind. Thank you.
So for me, for Bruna Boss, Ulgor, for Meg Bateman, and Paddy Bush, everyone.